Leviticus chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability that vowed, shall the priest value him. And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it, who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof, an homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he sanctify his field from the year of Jubilee, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as a field devoted, the possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of Jubilee. And he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of the Jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs shall be the shekel. Only the firstling of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and he shall add the fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Then concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first 13 verses, we have this talk of people being dedicated unto the Lord and there being a price that is paid for that dedication. It is interesting. Commentators are divided along two lines here. The first set of commentators, and I would call this the majority of commentators, set forth that what you have here is you have a man or a woman that either dedicates himself or is dedicated by his superior unto perpetual service in the temple of the Lord. They would not have to be Levites or priests. They could be some other tribe, but they would have some kind of service that they would perform in the, you know, in and around the holy things of God. Everyone agrees thus far with that assessment. The disagreement comes with, what about the shekels? What about the money? What is the money doing here? Is the money the price of redemption, or is the money the price of dedication? And that's where the commentators are divided. The majority of commentators would say this is the price of redemption, so that if you dedicate someone to perpetual service in the Lord's house, and you want to buy them out of that dedication, there's the money that you need to pay, those shekels there. In their various valuations. Benar, however, and only one or two others say, no, this is not the price of redemption. It's the price of dedication. So that when you come to dedicate yourself or your servant before the Lord, you also offer that money as an offering because they are being taken into service and will be provided for by the temple. And so that money is given to the temple to help with that provision. I tend toward the latter in my understanding. This also helps us, if you will think with me for a moment, it helps us to understand who those assembling women were around the tabernacle in the days of Hophni and Phinehas, who they were abusing. It also helps us to understand Hannah's offering Samuel a perpetual servant to Eli. It also helps us to understand Jephthah and the vow that he made, whatever comes out of my house, I will offer it as a perpetual, as a whole burnt offering unto the Lord. And whole burnt offering there, we need to understand as something of a complete offering that he would give up forever. I'm sure he was thinking it would have been one of his servants or something. Instead, it was his virgin daughter, and so his name died out in Israel. In the New Testament, when we come to this concept, we might be tempted to think, okay, what is the moral equity of this? What is the general equity of such a teaching as this, that there could be people that would be dedicated to perpetual service to the Lord? And if your mind is going to Romans 12, 1 and 2, please let it continue. That's right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves living sacrifices unto God, holy and acceptable in His sight, which is your reasonable service. And so what we find here in Leviticus chapter 27 is that there was a legitimate dedication of persons. You could dedicate yourself, you could dedicate your children, you could dedicate your servant to perpetual service to the Lord. You offered an offering that would help in that service. They were taken into the number of those who served around the holy things at the behest of the priests and the Levites. and they were given to that kind of perpetual servitude. I think Anna in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, is also one of these types. Which teaches us then that in the days of the New Testament, that we as the people of God are indeed to be wholly dedicated unto Him. All right, so if we can talk like that about ourselves, certainly we can talk like that about our property. And that's where it goes next, isn't it? It goes to particular animals, clean or unclean, and it goes to houses and lands. And if you strip away all of the talk about the year of Jubilee and the valuation and the estimation and all of that, you strip away all of those Old Testament accoutrements and get to the morality of the matter. What is the Lord teaching us in Leviticus 27 except that He owns us and He owns all of our stuff, and so we are all inclined to use ourselves and everything that we have to Him, toward His service at all times. So not only are we ourselves living sacrifices unto Him, but everything that we have as stewards of His good mercies to us. I think that is the perpetual and moral teaching of Leviticus chapter 27. That the Lord taught them in this optional service that they rendered by serving up or offering up their daughters, their servants, themselves as perpetual servants in the temple, and their houses and lands and so on, and animals also in this kind of service, that what we learn from that for all ages of the church is that we are indeed a people in all of our being and in all of our owning, that we are indeed beholden to the Lord, that our life is His and our stuff is His. Now, what's interesting about that is that there was the perversion of it. As in every good principle, you will have indeed the devilish perversion of it. And so, in Matthew chapter 15, we have the Pharisees rising up and they have this thing that they've called Korban. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I would really love to be of service to you. I'd really love to give you that house that I wasn't using in your old age because you can't afford it anymore, you're no longer working, and you need someone to help you out. I'd really love to help you out, but I can't because I've given that house to the Lord. And what they had done is they had worked that deal in such a way that while they had given that house to the Lord, they still retained the use of it, they still retained the profits of it. All they did was share that profit. And so we see that there was a perversion of that principle of being dedicated unto the Lord. Now, there are times we might do that as well. How would we be tempted to do something like that? We might be tempted not to obey our parents when they tell us something because, oh, Mom and Dad, I'd love to mow the lawn now, but it's really time for me to read my Bible. Right? Let's be careful how we handle those things. Let's be careful how we take care of those kinds of things when they rise up. Let's be clear that being dedicated to God means obeying our parents. And so on and so forth. There are all kinds of relations that we could go into. And I'm sure with just a few moments and jotting down a few notes that those things will make themselves clear. All right, so then the last thing that I wanted to talk with you about is the redemption. It seems that with some of these things, for instance, animals or houses, things that didn't require a costly maintenance, that you could buy them back. You could actually redeem them out of that perpetual servitude or that belonging to the temple. But when you did, you added the fifth part. And that fifth part was what? What is the fifth? It's a double tithe. It's a tithe confessing that that thing is still the Lord's, and it's a penalty because you said the Lord could have it, but now you need it back. And so you pay a tenth upon the tenth in order that you could receive it back. You pay a double tithe to it, confessing that it's still the Lord's, but you are taking your possession back of it so that you can use it for your profit as well, but it still belongs to Him. It's a double tithe that you pay in the fifth part. All right, thus ends the reading then of Leviticus chapter 27. Let's stand and continue praising God in the